Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amin Muhammad with our show, Message of Concern. We are attempting to remove all racial images from worship. Alhamdulillah, our hosts have been Sister Daya Akbar and Brother Akbar for 2 or 3 years, almost every day. So we're going to, inshallah, open up the show and see if we could share some information about removing images from worship. See what we got here. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Let's see. Assalamu alaikum. Excuse me. This is Amin Muhammad. My show, Message of Concern. Thank you, Allah. Anybody else can be studio? Call guest, call in. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Amin.
Wa alaikum assalam.
So you listen, I'm glad. Nobody's on but myself at first for a while, so I just said I would let the music play, go on through until somebody comes on, then I open up, and then you came on, I saw. So I said I'll let you know what I'm doing, if that's okay. Unless you
definitely
want to say
go
now. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Thank
you. You've been doing this for 2-3 years, but alhamdulillah, you're doing a great job. You know, I wish
all
I could do better.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
That's love.
Assalamu alaikum. I see there's nobody on here, but I mean myself, but we can go on anyway. He's listening. Assalamu alaikum. Host is Adaya Akbar, Decatur, Georgia. We start off by doing the Al-Fatiha in Arabic and then in English. Inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. Sassy breakthrough from Allah, from rejected enemy, Shaitan, from Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, church, sustainer of all the worlds, the beneficent, the most merciful, to of the day of judgment which we now live. The alone do we worship, and the alone do we seek for aid. For Allah, please, who did show us the right way, straight way. We have those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy favors on, and those upon whom thou wrath is not brought down. Amen. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm a little bit under the weather today with this throat here. I don't know if it's sinuses. Sinuses look like this. That's been a pretty long time. But anyway, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, Message of Concern, and sponsored by Sister Claremont STEM School. S is for science, T is for technology, E is for engineering, M is for math, which to me, like I always say, is Al-Islam. Because it covers all of that. Islam covers all of that. And we have also a co-sponsor, who's Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad out of Los Angeles, California, who we are grateful to for sharing his blessing with us of having this Blog Talk Radio Show. And we want to do what we can to participate and to assist as much as we can with donations, with time, with sharing of knowledge, and with patience, prayer, and perseverance, and hanging in there with us, because it's definitely going to get better, inshallah. It's definitely going to get better. I want you to know at any time that you have something that you want to say or share, please push 1 on your phone receiver, and you'll be brought into the queue, and your mic will be open to give your input. And I would like to repeat that because the board just came on. I want to let you know that anytime you have anything to say, please push 1 on your phone receiver. And you'll be brought into the queue. Your mic will be open. And you can share with us what it is you have to say, as long as we keep it in perspective and keep it respectfully. Okay? So far, has anybody had anything to say before we go on? Sister Sharifa is going to be on here shortly, inshallah, and help me to read. But meanwhile, I didn't get the paper for this. Okay, let me stop right here. I was going to look at this last issue that I had, which is May 13th to May 19th, if anybody has that paper. May 13th to May 19th. And I'm going to now let Brother Amin in, because I see where he's indicating he has something to say. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Amin.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Daya. Alhamdulillah. Allah Akbar.
May Allah bless us with information and knowledge and understanding. Oh, praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. This show has been going on for a number of years now. You know, oh, praise be to Allah. And that's a great thing because I know we, our intentions are good and we want to better ourselves and better humanity. Alhamdulillah. So it's a great thing for us to be able to talk about the truth. You know, okay, hold on 1 second. Let me see what's all right, bro. Yeah, praise be to Allah. So we had talked about the length of the show. So, right. You know, it just won't go an hour, another half hour, how did you argue?
Well, we can do it an hour. You know, we can do it the first hour. If I was thinking about it, into 1-2, inshallah, do 1 hour. And I do 1 hour, and we can cover the whole 2 hours unless you have somebody else to plug in for the second hour, or if you want to keep the second hour, if you want to keep it like that.
Not at all. No, I'm so used to y'all running everything, because I got my other duties. But all praise be to Allah. Let us know. Praise be to Allah. We went to a meeting today. We had a meeting today on the situation at the masjid. And it was quite revealing, you know, because, you know, sometimes people use that term, well, backbiting. But a lot of the information that came out today was about absolute corruption. Was about absolute corruption that some of the believers know about, but what they do is we turn our heads. We just turn our heads under this thing of where we don't want to bring out no bad things about another Muslim, you know. But that other Muslim may not be a believer, and he's involved in drug trafficking and selling heroin, everything. So a lot of information came out today, you know. So one of the ayats in the Holy Quran, Allah says, you know, that he wants, I'm paraphrasing now, that he wants believers who are not afraid of criticism, you know what I mean? Bring out what you want to bring out the truth, and don't fear being criticized. You know, someone may call you, well, a backbiter. Well, I'm talking about someone who is addicting people out in the society, selling heroin. And they come around the mosque, come around the masjid, and Imam Muhammad has talked about it. That comes from COINTELPRO. That comes from the enemies of Islam, you know, sending corrupt people among us to corrupt us, you know, with their money. I remember this one individual, he was going around lending money, 10 cents on a dollar, you know, and we found out today that he was a trafficker, like a heroin trafficker. In the masjid, and nobody wanted to say anything because we got this code of silence, just like, you know what I mean? We don't want to say nothing. But people be around there commit straight out crimes. You know,
he's a loan shark, too. A loan shark and a distributor.
Yeah. So that was the thing. So, you know, we can't be afraid of the criticizer. We can't be afraid of criticism. That's what Allah says. Now, innocent people, I understand what Allah says. Well, be careful about your tongue. Be careful. But, you know, when you know people are doing super corrupt things, you can't be afraid to speak out.
True.
You know, you can't be afraid to speak out. Alhamdulillah. So I believe it right here, Sister Zahia. So you might want to ask somebody else who's in the queue if they want to come on. And I got something else to tend to, but I'll be listening also. So
okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for the input,
yeah,
but I mean. Assalamu alaikum.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Excuse me? What did you say, but I mean?
No, I didn't say
that. Are you done?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Is there any... Well, thank you, and assalamu alaikum. Anybody else would like to say anything? You'd like to say anything or share any current events with us or give your input or opinions on anything that you feel is pertinent and important, you know, for us to hear? Please push 1 on your phone receiver. You'll be brought into the queue, and your mics will be opened. Okay? So just push 1 when you're ready to say something. You'll be brought into the queue. Your mics will be opened. Okay, well, if not, then we shall go on with the show. With some reading. Anybody would like to share any reading or what have you? That's from the Quran or from the Muslim Journal, and we're behind with the Muslim Journal again, but we just have to, the latest one that I have is May 13th through May 19th, 2023, and that was during the Mother's Day and the graduations, you know, that sort of thing, and we have plenty of good information in here. Main global company founder we have in here.
So I'm thinking, Sister Daya.
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, so we have, it's 4:33 here in Los Angeles. So I guess it's, what, 7:33?
Right.
7:33 where you're at. So let's just go on another 25 minutes then. If nobody else want to say anything, nobody else want to share. And, you know, share this. We'll just stop it.
Shut it down.
We'll just stop it off. And yes,
okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, nobody
Thank
else want to say?
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here goes somebody else's hand up already, but I mean, so that was the trigger.
No, all right,
let me get them in, and it looks like Sister Quran. Okay, mic is open. Assalamu alaikum. Unmute your phone. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Well, maybe they changed their mind, huh? I'll just take them out then, and they can push back again when they get ready. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Okay. And it still goes. If you have anything to say, just push 1 on your receiver, and you'll be brought into the queue, and then your mic will be open. If you have anything that you would like to share with us. Okay. Meanwhile. Oops, drop the phone. I'm trying to read some real quick. Now I found. Mm-hmm.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me, Sister Dave?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, just, you know, thinking more about this whole thing of corruption in our community, corruption and crime and immorality in our community. And a lot of us feel like we don't have the right to stand up against it. You know what I mean? Look what Imam Muhammad did. You know, he went against that whole thing of God is a man.
Mm-hmm.
And God came in a person. You know, straight out corruption. Allah says there's nothing worse than shirk. And Imam Muhammad went against it. So if we have people in our community selling heroin and around there just running, got their little crime gangs in the masjid, and they're not only a gang, but they got money. They got pretty clothes and nice cars because they're selling dope, you know, and other things. And we don't stand up and say anything. You know what I mean? Well, you know, you can't accuse me of backbiting. That kind of guy,
right?
Backbiting. I'm talking about somebody straight out going against our community. You know what I mean? And doing things hurting us.
Right.
And somebody using the term backbiting of somebody corrupt, somebody who's corrupt. Corrupting our community, lying to us, going against the leadership, you know. So we ain't, you know, we're alhamdulillah. I think somebody's in the queue.
Yeah.
It up, but.
Same person that called before. Maybe they got their maybe they're off mute now and can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, yeah. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Sister Karan. How are you?
I'm fine. Alhamdulillah.
Good, alhamdulillah.
What I want to speak on is that, I was talking to my daughter, and we was talking about family life, alhamdulillah. And then it came up like, how they really did a job on us when they took the when they remember there was an heir when we didn't have no fathers in the house, you know, and that basically was talking about, and she was saying how she at one time she didn't even know that she's supposed to have a dad until she went to one of her Muslim sisters, and they saw that she had a daddy. And she came back and told me, she said, Mom, she had a dad. I didn't know you're supposed to have a dad in the house. And then I think about right now, like things that our children and the trouble that they're in, if you would check it out, you'll find out that half of the majority of those, especially our brothers, don't have no daddy in the house.
One parent home, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then my daughter, she said, my other daughter came and said, Mama, I don't know nothing. And so what I was thinking about, I said, you know what we need to do is tell our children. We need to tell, even though you know that they're going to go out there, but we don't know what our children are going to do. See, now we don't know what they're going to do, but you don't know what their friends, their so-called friends that they have will do. Because I remember a time I went to a party one time, they were taking me to a party, and I ain't never been to that kind of party. They was doing everything, even doing the movie and tour and stuff. And everybody was getting high, and I didn't get high, so I had to pretend like I was high just to fit in.
Oh, my.
It was terrible, and I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do. No, because I came there with someone.
Okay.
So, but the point I'm trying to say is that our boys, our brothers, our children, they don't they need that daddy to tell them sometime what to do. And I tell them many times, I said, see, if my son had a dad in the house or either some brother, because at one time there was brothers that didn't have, they could see that there was no daddy, and they see that was a good young brother, they'd take him in and start kind of like talking to him and you know, like that, and then they'd have like little brothers meet and stuff like that. I said, if he just had a man to talk to him, to show him how to handle that situation, he probably would have been in that situation like that. And I think a lot of our brothers, too, if you check it out, but the half of the time, the majority of the brothers that's in jail, they don't have a father. Wow. They didn't have a father to tell them things, what they shouldn't do and what they shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of our girls out there, too, that's doing this and doing that, the daddy wouldn't dare let them no brothers come around and mess with their daughter like that, you know. Because yeah, I know when I was growing up, ain't nobody mess with us. And I even know some brother come out, yeah, nobody, your daddy let nobody mess with his children. it's very important when the daddy's out of the house, they knew exactly what they was doing. Because a lot of this, that mama and daddy, not just mom and daddy, mama and daddy. And the majority of these parents that are letting their children change, think they want to be something else other than what the law had created them to be, when they get older, like these kids 7 and 6 years old, you know how you're growing up. I remember I was a tomboy because my brother, I ain't had nobody to play with, so I had to follow my brother. But I didn't want to get changed. And then when I became a certain age, something like 15 or 16, then now they change and they see this boy, this girl they're interested in, you know, then the thing about it is that they ain't got nothing to work with. They're going to be messed up, start having a mental illness. And that's when you're really going to start see a lot of shooting and killing. And I'll be surprised they go back to the clinic and bum up the whole clinic. Because they done messed them up. They should have known better. Man, they're not supposed to do that. They know they're not supposed to. That's Satan. You know you're not supposed to do those kind of things. But basically, that's why I would say that we need to make sure that, you know, that our children have good parents, you know, good mates, so they could have that mom and dad in the house. Because I remember, like I said, I remember when we was growing up, everybody had a mom and dad in the house. Even if the daddy was a drunk or alcoholic, that man stayed right there in that house.
He was there,
go nowhere.
Right. Yeah, at least he was still there.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He didn't go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did, because my daddy, he never saw his daddy work.
Wow.
Yeah, 14 trips. I told him, I said, your daddy did work. He gave your mom 14 children.
yeah, he worked his own.
I was talking about he said he never worked on the job. He said he believed mom was having church so we could go out there and work in the field. Yeah, my uncle.
Yeah, but what were they doing when they were waiting for the children to be born though? Who was doing it?
Who was working on the field? I don't know.
he was a farmer.
I don't know. I don't know. I never asked that question, but I'm going to ask him that question, though. I'm going to say, what was y'all was doing? Maybe they didn't have the farm during that time. I don't know. I never did ask the question, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. How did they survive?
No. What it is, when I said he didn't work, the children work. And then a lot of times, you got to remember, during that time, people share crop. You know, they'll work your farm to get the food. So that's what they did. And they did do a lot of sharecropping. He didn't mean to sharecropping,
I got the wrong idea about sharecropping, and I misunderstood it. I thought when you sharecrop, you lived on the Caucasian properties and you did your farming, but that's how you pay your rent, was through the vegetables or the food that you, you know, got from the farm. And they supplied the owner with that or gave them a certain amount of it for their share of their for their rent for staying there. I guess I Never really paid
no, 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 no. You got that right. They did it like that too. But most of the But the African Americans, they did it where that if you had a farm, I come help and work your farm, and you give me some food because you know they didn't have stores and things like that. And so that's what that's how he had them sharecropping. My grandfather, you know, he did it like that. You know, but that's how they sharecrop too. You know, you use my land, and then some of them use half of their land, and then he used the other part, but they'll take care of his, and then they'll use his land to raise their food, you know, vice versa. They did. Mm-hmm. That's the way that works right there, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the main thing I would say and after years passed by, and I got older, and I had grandchildren, and I went in Walmart one time, and I saw this brother. And it was the first time in a long time I saw this brother holding his son's hands, you know. And that made me feel so good. I had to smile. That made me feel good knowing that the brothers, I said, this generation, they're giving their children more time. You know, they're giving them more time. And a lot of them say that they're, even my own son, he said, I'm not going to never leave my sons. I'm not going to let them leave my children. You know, because I want to make sure that they have a dad in the house, you know.
Good thought.
You know, make sure that they have a dad in the house.
It's a good thought. Yeah, it is good. And it does my heart good, too, to see the young brothers who have the wives and when they have the baby, you know, put it in the stroller and attending to it, you know, instead of just appearing on check day. Something like that, you know, to collect the check day and phone after that, you know, and it's good to see the young people being interested.
Right, and even if they're not living there, the idea that they still, you know, give time to their children, too, they still spend time with them, and that's important right there. You know, that daddy is very important, and to the daughters too. Because my daughter says, if I had a daddy, the daddy would tell you, don't mess with this man. He'll give him points about different men, you know. And I got to tell my daughter, and I be talking to them, I said, you don't let a man do this.
So, like the old folks used to say, tell them about the birds and bees. Huh?
Yeah, I said, you don't let them do this. That's right. And just like a man be telling their sons, too. You know, they be telling them, they're giving them tips. You know, that's right. Go ahead.
No, you get to go. But it's your subject. You go ahead. I'll wait.
No, I'm finished. Okay. No, I'm finished.
That's just like Elislam taught us in MGT class. When the mothers have the babies from birth. But when the son gets to be the age of 13, his father takes him over, you know, and start teaching him about manhood.
That's right.
That's where I was in New Jersey. That's where it was when I was living in New Jersey when I accepted the Elder Islam. And under Minister James Shabazz, that's what they used to teach, you know, that the mothers would turn their sons over to their father at the age of 13 with puberty. You know, puberty, put it that way.
Yeah, they said something. I heard between 13 and 14, that age right there. Yeah, it's time to turn them over to their father, right. And they want, too. That's what they want. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of little girls, their daddy's babies. I'm telling you, the girls seem to cling to their fathers, and the boys a lot of times seem to cling to their mothers. Protective of their mother, you know. But then when they go to that libido stage where the boys don't want the father around the mother because he feels that he's the only one that's supposed to be around his mother to protect her, you know. And that's good. Mother teaches them how to treat a wife when they get one. And the mother still, she didn't just completely drop him, you know, on his father or just give him to his father. For his father to teach him everything, she still would be teaching him. You know, it takes both mother and father. Like it takes a village, you know, but it takes both mother and father if they're present and if Allah blesses that family to be that way and have both of them. Me, I was raised by my grandmother. I had no mother nor father. So,
do you know what I'm going to ask my? You know, I'm going to ask my son because, and my grandson, because I noticed today, I was thinking, talking to my daughter today, and I said, you know what? I noticed none of your brothers and your, and my grandson, I'll say like this, all of them married out of their race.
Oh?
They married out their race. And I said, I'm going to ask them why.
It's the age. It's the age, right? The era. It's the it's caught up with time. It is. I mean, what are their age ranges?
They got like 20, 21.
Okay. Well, see, and most of them, that's the time that they feel that I find that to be a trend, and not necessarily the ones now. From 2021, even the ones back then, starting at age 2021, Imam Deputy Muhammad, I remember him saying, it has always been a black man's dream to wake up, and look in the face of a Caucasian woman, you know, something of that nature, you know, not verbatim, I'm paraphrasing. But,
I heard. I don't know what the Imam said or the only be Elijah Muhammad said. He said that the black man and the Caucasian woman, they're the only one that wasn't in slavery. They did what they want to do. The African American man and the Caucasian woman, he said they weren't in slavery. Maybe I got it wrong. He might have said African, that's right, my apology. You would say all those whips on our brothers back. What you mean he was in slavery? It was Caucasian man and the sister. They were never in slavery. He said they were never in slavery. He said they did what they want to do.
I don't understand that one, but maybe it's a little bit more. We got to add on to that. It may be the way you perceived it and the way. You know, it was you understood it or whatever, but I can't understand
I guess he just left that for us to think, because I just said the exact words that he said. One of them said, I don't know which one, but that's what I was reading. I said, and I had to think on it. I was that thing, and they said, did what they want to do.
Well, how did an African American woman do what she wanted to do if she was a slave? She did what that Caucasian man told her to do. She was forced to do a lot of things and then go to the fields.
Well,
and when he goes to the fields and get her
what,
and bring
what
her
I,
in the
what,
house
what
in front of
said,
her own
I,
man, in front of her own, oh, boy. Well, they did a lot of crazy things. That's sure, whatever it was. Didn't make sense. Lots happened. They a lot of rubbish. It didn't make sense.
Basically, like now, I think everybody that have been not the one that was born into slavery have passed. but I ain't gonna say all of them, because there's one man lived he just passed. I don't know if he's still living or not, but he lived 198 years old.
Wow.
And the secret is all in the way you sleep. And, you know, definitely what you eat, but it's basically in the way you sleep, too, have a lot to do with it. Did you know that if
you...
See, when you lay down, your head should be facing south, and your foot should be facing north. And that's because the north, that north magnet here on Earth, it pulls north. So that means that it's pulling blood two, when you, if you sleep north, then it's pulling blood to your brain, which causes a lot of confusions and stuff like that, and you'd be arguing and discomfort and all that.
Could you give me a reference, please? You got a reference for that?
Yeah. Google. Say Google.
Google. Okay.
No, I'm serious, because I'd be reading them little small things, and then they said, it's definitely, you know, the way you eat and the way you sleep, too. But I got to get fullness about the way you sleep. You know, like if you sleep on your side, you sleep on one side, you sleep on the other side, you know, like that. But I know it's good sometimes to sleep on your back, because the gravity pulls down, and so if you sleep on your back, that'll keep your face. You know, the gravity will pull down on your face. It will pull it down. But if you sleep with your face down, that means it'll pull down, and that'll cause all them wrinkles and stuff in your face.
Oh,
if you lay on the side and they, you know, facing down.
Okay. Well, I know in MGT, I remember we were taught sisters shouldn't ever sleep on their stomachs. And left side, right side, or back. But never sleep on your stomach.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to sleep on your stomach, because your back, because the gravity, when it pulls down, it'll just pull your face, you know, like you tighten it, you know, mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you when you start reading, you know, it's really something what you learn. I know they got Alzheimer's now talking about you can detect it. At a certain time, according to the way you sleep and all that, your position, you know, that you sleep in and all that kind of stuff, you can be able to detect pre-Alzheimer in individual.
Oh, yes, yeah, with Alzheimer's, when you can't remember.
Hmm?
Yeah, I know you said Alzheimer's, Dylan, but and your memory, and you have to... They have a lot to do with what you eat and what you do, too. And you got to remember that a lot of food that you eat, and especially if you get it out the store, especially if you get out these little 99-cent stores and TGNY stores, you know, and all that, general dollar stores, they have alcohol up in the food. So you have to be careful about that. And then when you see the word GL, glycerin, you know that's pork.
GL one.
And you got to remember that it's called gelling, like G-E-L, you know, you call it gelling.
Gelatin.
Yeah, that's pork. Yeah, that's pork. And then they have another name, too. I forgot what it is, but I stopped eating out at some stores anyway because the food ain't real. But they have another name for pork, too, also.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, they got it. They got it out there now. And then we was watching Teak on YouTube, and they were saying about the cows, about the food. You can't. They put in some kind of chemicals in the hay.
Mm-hmm.
And what the hay does, and so I didn't know that you use mixed hay up with your fertilizer, you know, for you know, help mix the fertilizer for your plants. And what it is that
mix what with
hay.
Oh, you mix
hay. H-A-Y. I don't know.
Yeah, like what you feed the cows, okay? Hay.
Right. Right.
Mix it with what? You mix it with what?
You mix it with your fertilizer, you mix it up with fertilizer for, you know, like when you, for your plants, for your garden, in your garden. Yeah, and I didn't know it either. Yeah, so they mix it up and they grind it up, you know, like that. But they said what they do is they put in some kind of chemicals in the hay that they feed in the cows. And so you know that comes out and they manure, and what it does is the plants grow, but they don't produce no fruit. It'd be beautiful, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be beautiful, but it just won't produce any fruit.
That's a good thing.
No, because if you're trying to grow watermelon, because the guy was too much growing watermelon, but they didn't have no watermelon, but they had all these, because that's what it does, it kills that. So they said be careful of the food, I mean, the fertilizer that you buy, the cow manure that you buy, you know, because they have, and that's what they do.
Oh. Well,
I don't think I've seen this come this way yet. Things are not by head, all kind of stuff out there in the back, the gardens and all. I don't think I've seen it come this way. Unless it's already mixed in the fertilizer that he gets already bagged up. Something like that.
Well, I guess, you know, just places that you buy, you know, they have places that have, you know, they have their own cows and they own this and they bring it in like that. And they grow their own hay, too. They grow their own hay. But we're talking about the people that manufacture hay to these animals, you know. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, we're coming up on the hour. It seems like... But I mean, it seems like this hour went so fast. Maybe we just better not start. Maybe we need to start 10 minutes early to play the music, because I think I'll say, speak for myself. That's this week in the, like they say, Brother Norman saying, Dawa, catch the spirit. So when I come on the Blog Talk Radio show, if I want to catch the spirit, a lot of times the music will help me catch the spirit. So, but like now, you know, the time is up that first hour, so maybe better start playing the music, maybe 10 of 7, and play it up for 10 minutes. No, it should be done, the music, those two, the instrumental and the vocal of the message of concern by Brother Wadi Ali. And then at 7 o'clock sharp, we'll start to talk, if anybody is on. But I just don't feel that it would make sense for us to start talking or trying to teach anything or discussing anything if, to myself, you know, there's nobody on the, you don't see anybody on the board, you know. So that's why I would play the music until I see somebody come on that I can be talking to and not just to myself, you know, not talking to myself. No, I'm like listening to the music if somebody comes on, you know, or reading if somebody comes on, so I'm going to say. But this first hour is up, and I think, maybe can we go 15 more minutes, brother? I mean, because 15 minutes of that, I think, or 10 minutes of that, 15, really. It was
it's up to you. It's you.
Okay.
It's up to you.
It was the music, and then nobody was on, so, you know, I let it go and play, so. But and I don't know if it would be feasible either to try and do that on the nights that you, because sometimes they come on, you know, the people come on and the board will be really, really, what they call it, lit up. You have a lot of people on, you know, when while the music is playing, you know, and then it'll go off shortly and then you'll have somebody to talk to. But then there's a lot of times when you play the music and it goes off and there'll be nobody on there to talk to. And I don't know, we just have to play it by ear. But, oh yeah, we got to get some money in too. I'm going to call you, Brother Amin. I got an idea. Okay, inshallah. We have some kind of way for people to send in donations. You have any set up like PayPal or anything like that?
Okay, I could talk to you about that.
Okay.
I'll get that ready. I'll talk to you about that. That's
okay.
A good idea.
I have a question I want to ask Hameen, Brother Hameen. Is that, you know, he was talking about the mask, the problem he had, the mask here. But I was talking to my husband and I was telling him, I said, you know what, I never heard him say what the believers there, the congregation. And I say, is there the congregation? Are there believers there? I never hear you speak of the believers, what they say, are their involvement. Oh, I can't even say that word right, Daya. Informed. Oh boy, I ain't gonna try to say it now. But go ahead. But it's I-N-Z-O-V-E-D, involvement. Say it for me, Rachi, I mean, Diane, so I can
involved?
Say
involved? Well, you want to get involved? What yeah, are you trying to
meant.
Say? Involved?
Meant. Yeah, involvement. Yeah, involvement.
Okay. You haven't spoken on any involvement of the, he just said that this morning. I mean,
Yeah, I did hear him say something, but could you tell me could you tell me again? Because I did hear, I said, dang, he did say something this time, but I was just saying before all the time, I never heard you, but what about the community there?
Yeah, you know, the it boils down to this. Brother Ivan died, you know, and his assistant, a brother named Jalal, died about the same time. They died about the same time, just about a year ago. Then a brother named Mokadam, who served as kind of like the emir, his name was Robert Wallace most of all the time, but they called him Brother Mokadam. He died about 7 months ago. And then a brother named Bashir, who was in the first, been around the community, and him and his wife and his family are in the community. He passed. And then the sister who was served as the secretary, her name was Jay Wahida, she developed kind of like a medical problem, you know, Alzheimer's. And so it was just left with one brother who was Ima's assistant, and he is the son of the supreme captain, the sister. What's your name at the time? The captain.
Shereen. Sure. You mean captain of the occasion of. The captain of the religion,
So he was left right there. That was it. So we wanted to reorganize the masjid. That's what we wanted to do, is reorganize the masjid and get the officers back and get the board back and do programs like Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School, Weekend School, and other programs that we want to. So, we ran into resistance when this brother who was left after all the people died, he left. He reached out to Imam Sadiq Safir's son named Jihad to come and help him. Because he didn't want to deal with the community. He didn't want to deal with the community. He didn't want to give the community the bylaws and meet with them. He didn't want to do that because I guess he enjoyed being in control. So he goes outside of the Belal Ibn Rabah community, go over to the Islah community and ask another brother to come over there, and we had a so-called meeting. There was a whole lot of brothers we had never seen before. They had masks on. They had masks on their face, and they might have been, I think, FOI or something, but they weren't from the Belal Ibn Rabah community. They weren't. So they had a meeting, and really the meeting really didn't really answer no questions like we thought the questions should be answered. So that's where we are right now. We're writing up, a protest to go before a judge. That's what we're trying to do that right now, is go before the judge. And because when you are 501c3, you have to answer to the IRS. You have to answer to Franchise Tax Board in California. You have to answer to the Secretary of State because, you know, 501c3 give you power. If somebody give you say $1,000, a donation, you know, that's tax exempt. Usually, if someone give you $1,000, you got to pay taxes, or anybody got to pay $200 or $300 of the $1,000, you know. But when you're a 501c3 and you're handling your business correctly, the IRS give you tax exempt where you don't have to pay taxes. So that's where we're at now. We're appealing to the authorities in order to get these people in compliance and have them to deal with the believers, and let's get the mass shit back in order, because all them people die. All them people die. So I hope that, I mean, did that kind of question, Sister Karan?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. I just say, want to know what, you know, did they have any involvement in it also? Because they say when a 501c, no one owns the mass of the 501c3. They said the believers are the maintainers of the mass. Yeah. You could always vote somebody out and in. You don't have to have them there. You could always vote out. To vote them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they didn't want to hold no elections. They didn't want, you know, but like I said, all the officers died. Ayman, Mukadu, Jalal, Bashir, all the people who, the officials around there, they all died. And it was left with old big situation. It was left with one brother. And so instead of him dealing with the committee, you know, Hathik Jr., myself, Sister Faida, Sister Soko, Brother Nasheed and his wife, Mahasin, and Brother Bilal, Artist Terrell, all the people who are members of the Masjid, he didn't want to deal with that, because he found himself with the whole situation in his hand. And I guess it felt good to him. He said, I got the power. I got the power. So he said, I don't want to meet with nobody. And so he chose his a friend who had been in the penitentiary 35 years, you know, to be one of the people who was an officer, and then his wife. So when you're a 501c3, you just can't pick people like that. You can't pick people. You have to go before the community. The community got to nominate the person. The community had to vote on this person and let it be ratified. Then you gotta, right, that's what bylaws for. That's right, exactly. And then you got to keep your minutes and let write it in the, you know, how many people was there, how many people raised their hand, how many people voted this person in, and seconded the motion, all like that. See, you just can't, you know. That's where we're at now.
Who is the imam over there?
Like I said, the imam died. Ayman died.
Oh yeah. So they ain't got no imam now. Do y'all have no imam now? That's what you're saying.
Well, it's the brother who was Ayman's assistant, brother named Hatim.
But let me tell you about the imam. The imam have and that's how you're gonna get him in court. And remember this: the imam have. He don't have anything to do. Only thing he's supposed to do is just keep the masjid in Islamic perspective. That's all. He have nothing to do. He don't even supposed to be on the board. He don't supposed to handle any of the money. His name don't supposed to be nowhere on the bank account or anything like that. Read it. I already read it already myself. Check it out. I'm telling you, that's how you're going to get them. That's right. That's how you're going to get them. He don't have interest. All he's supposed to do is make sure everything in Islamic perspective, and then, you know, like he meets other leaders and stuff like that. That's all he's supposed to do. And, you know, give the lectures and all that, you know. But he has none of the business dealing with the master. The believers are the maintainer of the master.
Right.
But it's called conflict of interest. So therefore, the imam just does the ministerial part of it, like you say in Quran.
Alhamdulillah. Right.
So when it came down to meeting with us, like I said, myself, Hafiz Jr., Sister Faida, Brother Nasheed, his wife, Mahasin, Brother Bilal, Artist Terrell, and a number of other people, when it came down to meeting with us, he chose to go over and get a gang from another community. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Get a gang, a G-A-N-G, like Crips Blood, a gang of people to come over to the masjid where we're having this meeting and intimidate me, Hafiz Jr., Faida, you understand what I'm saying? When it came down to. So it came down to, well, how was we going to oppose this? Are we supposed to go get our gang, our G-A-N-G, to stand up? And they brought their gang over. Like I said, I wish people would hear me what I said. They brought their gang, G-A-N-G. Maybe about 30 or 40 people with masks on.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, are you talking about the whole mask with the eyes and just the mouth, or the one just to cover the nose?
I'm talking about the COVID mask that you wear. The COVID mask. Right.
Okay.
So that's what, so you may say, why are they doing this? Because the masjid is worth $2 or $3 million. You see? And you may ask, why are they doing this? Because on Crenshaw area, if y'all know anything about Los Angeles, Crenshaw, they have that metro down Crenshaw.
That
street that comes up over in Inglewood. Now, how does that figure in? Well, the metro rail people, the train people, gave businesses on that strip money because they say, we know that all this building and everything have disrupted your business and disrupted your income. So we're giving you X amount of thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, because the metro rail, that train, disrupted your business. So, like I said, the masjid is worth $2 or $3 million. They've been getting money, and we're going to find out how much did they get of the Metro Rail money. And Homeland Security gave them some money from some type of Homeland Security. So they got money, something like $250. I mean, you know what I mean? This is unbelievable. People, you know, this is like a movie or something. But, yeah, this is what's been happening. This is what's been happening. So we write it up, and we want to take it before a judge and say, hey, look at what they did. Instead of us getting a gang. We don't want to get no gang. And they have their gang. We got a gang. Oh, no, that's not
We'll do Shura Bainahoom.
That's right. That's right. I know it sounds incredible. I know it sounds unbelievable, but that's what really
sounds unreal. That's a shame.
Did you tell them
unmute? Right. Yeah, because remember, Ayman, who was the imam for 10 years, he just died. And Mukaddam, who was the emir, just died. His assistant just died.
Wow.
Asalaamu
alaykum.
He said, wa alaykum as-salam, Suja.
Oh, alhamdulillah. This cat here is bugging me to death.
I'm saying he would lie. He just, I want to take over. You know, I'm just sitting there listening, you know. Praise be to Allah. I do see you have some power, but your power is just like my wife said, is going to be with the believers. And those people that they went and got wasn't the believers. The fallen people that were brought over there, you know, they wasn't the believers. And it just looked like, I mean, you got to get a lawyer to represent and show you all what is the ownership of the believers, and where do the power lies with the believers. The lawyer got to show you this. I mean, if this person want to separate himself from you, good. Let him separate himself. But he got fallen people that's not believers. He got fallen people that's not believers. But you got to get the believers together. I don't know whether or not y'all have chairmen, secretaries, and treasurers. You know, you got to have those.
He did say they had some officers. He did say they had some officers who were taking place of officers or something like that, right? What I mean?
But they are some of the believers, right? Those
yeah.
officers. Yeah. You know, somebody. I mean, you all gonna have to sit down and talk to them. Yeah, you all gonna have to call them and sit down and talk to them, and find out whether do you all want to just give this over?
Oh, please.
What do you want to do? You got to get that understanding from them. What do they want
okay.
to do?
You got to get a lawyer.
Let me kind of repeat.
Okay, go ahead.
I know it's unbelievable. It's like a movie, like a soap opera. I know it's unbelievable. We had appealed to, now remember now, the imam died, his assistant died, the emir died, all the people with the power died.
And they died.
And then all of a sudden, it was just one person left. His name is Hakim. So when we asked him, we wrote him over a 2-3 month period, let's meet because we want to reorganize the masjid and get
off
because we got programs. So
right. When
we met right before Ramadan, listen to me, please. Listen to me. I know this is incredible. I know it's, you say, well, this don't happen. No. This is happening. Hatik Jr., myself, Faria, Mohassan, all these people on the board.
Look at her going outside.
You know, all these people, we set up a date to meet, and he was going to answer our questions. So what he did was, he went and got a gang. He went and got a gang from another community.
Okay.
To come to Bilal ibn Rabah and to meet a gang, a G-A-N-G, a gang of like 30 people with
from
masks,
another community.
30, 40, 50 people with masks on that we don't even know. We don't even know them.
Like the Crypt and the Blood.
And then, you know, that's how he dealt with it.
Well, if he dealt with that like that, I'm pretty sure the lawyer would understand that. And
right.
any other group would understand that.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. That's
now,
why,
if they go along with that, then y'all don't have a chance.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But we met today to write up what we're going to give to the lawyer. That's what, that's what the meeting was about.
That's good.
Myself, Hoppy Jr., all of us, the committee, to write up how we're going to tell this story to people. People, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And they may ask, well, why are they doing this? Because the mansion is worth $2 million.
Right.
Also, okay. The mansion is going right out in front of Crenshaw. And they've been getting money. We're going to find out how much money they've been getting over the last few years from there. So it's all coming to a head. It's unbelievable, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Well, not it's really not unbelievable knowing the type of mentality and character that they have coming in with gangs, and so that shows their mentality right now. Are they Muslim? Like the sister say, if you is, if you ain't no Muslim. Muslims don't do that.
They don't have nothing. They don't have nothing. From what I'm hearing, they don't have. The only thing they can do is sell y'all a whoop ticket.
There you go.
That's the only thing I can see that they can sell y'all a whoop ticket. But now, as far as have some facts, some things that they can use to take the whole community from you all.
Right. I mean, he's calling you, Suja. Right.
Okay, yes, sir. Listen, this is our motto. This is our motto. Our motto is they don't have nothing. All we need to do is take time, stay within the law, stay within the Quran, stay within the law of California, and stay within the law of the United States of America, and put it before a judge, a committee. It's called a OSC.
Okay.
It's called OSC, meaning what you call that? Show cause. That's what you do. You go to court, you pay your fees, and you have a judge look at your story.
We'll
write up the story and let a judge look at it. It's called an OSC, OSC meaning order to show cause, and let a judge look at it. Read the story. Just like I'm running the story down to you, if I got Hoppy Jr. on the side, he run the story down just like I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And they got the burden of proof. The game and the other guy got the burden of proof to prove y'all story is false. That's what they up against. Is to prove that y'all story is inconsistent and is not facts, is not real, and because of that, we deserve to get the masjid or whatever, the money or whatever, because what they saying is fabrication. That's what you're up against.
I'm good enough. That's right.
I'm doing a lot, but from what I'm saying, then y'all got a good pay.
Slam dunk. Exactly. Slam dunk.
But trust me, though.
But we got
Brother Muhammad wants to come in. We got Brother Muhammad wants to come in. Got his hands up.
Hold on for a second. Go ahead.
No, I'm waiting on Brother Muhammad to come in, you know, because I'd like to say this. I don't want to get into back and forth, but by me bringing out the names of corruption, I'm not backbiting. I'm just bringing out something that
your enemy going to do.
You know, they got people. Hold on, brother. They got people sell heroin. And by me bringing out that up and even naming them, how can I be accused of backbiting?
How can
that's
I do
right.
this when you got somebody telling Aaron?
They're going to create that type of atmosphere against you. They're going to create that type of atmosphere against you.
Oh, ain't nobody going
to have opposition.
Ain't nobody thinking about what they're going to be trying to do. Yeah, and they got the attitude, bring up attitude against them for what they do.
What I'm telling you is the way I'm seeing it, the way that you explain it to me. I ain't going to get into an argument with nobody.
Uh-huh.
Ain't nobody trying to argue now.
I just said that. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to be live. So they got the burden of proof on them. If they can't prove and plus you all did the right thing in moving, trying to restore the order for the community, as far as having chairmen and treasurers and secretaries and all those things. You know, and they're going to have to show that they got those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are members of the community. They can say that they are treasures, but they got to prove that they are members of the community.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
so,
three things you need for a nonprofit, what they call 501c3. It's three things you need. You need the articles of incorporation.
Right.
You need the bylaws to show how this group operates meeting.
Right.
And one other thing you need the minutes, meaning that when people raise their hand and vote on a certain person or vote on a certain resolution, you know, you take down how many people was there, how many people raised their hand, how many people voted, did y'all ratify this person on the board? You know what I mean? The minute. Because when the IRS wants to see, they want to say the minute. I want to see a minute. And y'all had a meeting? Y'all voted this person in? You know what I mean? And
man, y'all got it. I'm telling you, y'all got it.
Yeah.
I mean, from what you explain it and the way I see it, y'all got it.
Right.
Are we going to let Brother Muhammad in?
Yes. Maybe Brother Muhammad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brother Muhammad, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. I have maybe two things I'll say. One is, this is supposed to be the message of a concern. I said that last night. It's very, very important what you're talking about and what we're all talking about, but it's also very important to do the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the leadership left us to do because of what kind of growth process we're going through and struggle we're going through. We're supposed to maintain to deliver the message over and above regards to what's going on. Now, number two is, you know, there's always a way to do things. You know, Allah says in the Quran through the life of Prophet Muhammad, you know, whoever's campaigning for whatever, you know, Allah said don't let that person be in charge of the of maybe the right thing, the right deed, because there's a way to go about things, you know. And you have to obey the law. Unless it's against what we believe is a community. First, we have to establish a community. We got to act like the way we are. We are the only people in the United States of America who is declaring that we are a community. But according to the laws of the Quran, according to the laws of the United States government, and the city you live in, we have no legitimate community at all. And if people could tune in on what we do consider to be a community, they would hear what we're talking about now. Because what you're talking about is going on almost in a great majority of the cities of our members of our our life cycle that we have experienced with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam W. Muhammad. You know, the same kind of struggle is going on almost in every city. And then we have marriages. You know, there's a lot of Muslims in our community of marriage that are not married because they haven't went down. They haven't went down, and God is pointing to the law of the land.
Hey, it's too much. Please mute your phone. Please mute your phone if you go ahead, brother.
You know, who are not don't have any paperwork to show that they're married. See, we can't. Two wrongs don't make a right, as they say, that old saying. You know, everything has to be done in peace. And if we are part of a provocation that we all know is the negotiated by Shaitan, first of all, get the human beings to fight amongst themselves about what they all are supposed to be sharing. And also, if whoever don't want to share, Allah says, tell them to be your way and be mine and cut their losses. Because there's losses on both sides. They lost a good supporter, you know, and now the criminals in a situation now have to deal with more criminals because the innocent has enough sense to leave in the name of peace to leave that type of situation. Imam Muhammad left all that disputation over his father's passing and his inheritance. You know, he walked away from it after he tried to reason with people who have all kind of influences in their mind. They have Christian influence. They have still the nigger in them influence. And they're coming from all those different characters that this world has produced in them before they have really accepted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they made their shahada, wiped their slate clean. And they turn right back around and put all of the nigger mentality, the Negro mentality, the black mentality, you know, greed mentality. We got all those things running around in our head because they have not yet been subdued and removed from the worship to Allah and His messenger and to ourselves, the obligations that we owe to each other. We don't have no rights on each other. Like Allah said, a believer owes to another believer and vice versa. So when you run into kind of these beehive situations, infantile growths, you know, you cannot let yourself be distracted away from the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us. Sooner or later, the believers will touch hands with each other, but we can't be fighting and getting in all kind of unnecessary deviations or distractions to keep us from growing in our worship to Allah, keep us from doing what Allah is asking to do in the Quran, following the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and most of all, coming together in the reality of this world. If you say you something, you got to have paperwork to show it. Whenever you say you are something or whatever you something you say, you have to have legal paperwork under the laws of the United States government, under the city that you live in, and also under the Quran. You got to have proof that you believe. You just can't just say I believe or I have a right to this, I have a right to that, and you don't have no proof. Now I will say this, and then like I said, I'm interested in the struggle we was already in trying to deliver this message of racism in worship and all this other stuff that we're dealing with. Get rid of this Jesus Christ. Get rid of this white skin influence that it has. Get rid of our black skin influence on us and whatever else we call ourselves. You know, get down on the real problem and not be deviated about. See, $2 million, give you exactly what I'm saying. $2 million is compared to what if we did come together as a community? Don't you know there's well over 12 million Muslims in our life history as followers or supporters or our children have been born underneath the influence of the Quran, the life and death of Prophet Muhammad, and the leadership of Imam W. Muhammad. And if you multiply what we make, if we come together and work together, $2 million ain't no money. $2 million is like, it might be less than two pennies compared to the $10 or $15 trillion budget that if we came together, kept our mind on what Allah said, come together as one soul, establish the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, or establish any kind of legal tie to each other, well, we have rights on each other. See, a brother could be sitting there talking with you today and then take something from you, and you don't have no rights to get it back other than to go through another community's established way of resolving things and their laws. We ain't established Sharia. We haven't established the laws where we can try to appeal to a brother's or a sister's same mentality.
That's what I'm making. Give me a moment. Just give me a moment, please.
Thank you, brother.
Give me a moment. Just give me a moment.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Yeah, I just called Brother Hadik Jr. I wanted him to come on here, but he tied up really on some other serious stuff. Because I know it's unbelievable. I know this sounds unbelievable, but let me say this.
Man, it's real.
The messenger, is it? That's what I'm saying, Brother Shuja. It is real.
It's real.
The message of concern say, what would happen to the minds of the people? You know, the imam state. What would happen to the mind? So the imam was trying to say, by us being cowed down and beat down and made to, you know, worship a Caucasian image and all like that, it made us into cowards. That's what he's trying to say. Made us into people who accept anything. Just go ahead and beat us down. You see what I mean? The message of concern makes us strong. By us discussing this every day, it's supposed to make us strong, wanting to stand up against criminals and stand up against corruptors, you know, running in the messages, selling heroin and all that old kind of stuff, lending money on heroin money and all that old kind of stuff. It's supposed to make us strong. Well, people who want to stand up vis-a-vis law, you know what I mean? It ain't you know, designed to make us just cow down to any foolishness, lightweight thug. No, the message of concern makes us strong. That's what as a purpose. It's a purpose to it. The imam was saying, you know, free their mind and let them solve their problems. You see what I mean? So you can't criticize me, call me a backbiter. If we just bringing out the truth.
Right.
But these people, they don't care about our children. They don't care if our children go to the penitentiary and spend the rest of their life. These people don't care. All they want is what they want. You know what I mean? Alhamdulillah. So I know it sounds incredible. I know it sounds almost unbelievable. But this is what's happening. When we
do you realize, brother,
yes,
the Quran says,
finish.
The Quran says, who is it? Who is it? After they commanded us to go and fight, to ask us to not to fight, but go and keep up your prayer. We ain't gonna do that. Ain't nobody gonna separate from us. Nobody gonna separate from us that are crooks. You can't tell a crook you go your way and I go my way.
Do you know that the biggest
that ain't gonna handle?
Do you know that the biggest crooks that we know are the king of Saudi Arabia, the king of Kuwait, whatever sheikh and what's name in Africa? You know, all of our Islamic scholars here in America who is ignoring what Brother Amin is saying. They're not trying to have sure or establish sure to resolve something or give that masjid, that building, and those people who want to run that business, you know, their right to go on and be their way and not be a part of the group. Nobody's not saying nothing because they still don't understand the scheme of making us cowards underneath this white concept of God having a son is to make us fight each other. We'll fight. We won't fight nobody else. We'll fight each other to the death. We become, I'll give it this way, the people of the community of Imam Warfi Muhammad.
Yes,
don't even know that they're turning into a model example of Cain and Abel. And Shaitan is sitting back watching us kill, destroy, dismantle all the good work that we are doing with each other in the name of Allah. Example. What you're saying right now is what happened to CPC. What's happening to Mosque Cares? What's happening to the six sectional imam structure that we're supposed to have sure and work with? It's until we legitimize ourselves, put up a shot, put your mouth, pay a lawyer, put your mouth and build a school. Your money, excuse me, I'm sorry. Put your money up and build a school. Put your money up and build a hospital.
What would you suggest to him?
I gave him an example. I'll give you two examples. One, Imam Muhammad fought his own brothers and sisters over the right to give honor, first of all, to the calling back of their father by Allah, and to use what Allah gave him to continue our development into becoming a Muslim and living and establish the Muslim life. And he went as far as the hearts of the people in the community who were ignorant of what's going on, or they was on an emotional level with it, and then some of them was hypocrites, to where he walked away and said, y'all go ahead. Y'all do what y'all want to with it. Y'all have distracted me enough arguing about what we're going to do about this money that he left. And ain't nobody getting no money but Cook County and the lawyers. Don't you see all we're doing? Because Shaitan's schemes don't change. He's making us do the same thing over and over again. Here comes CPC. They destroy CPC and divide the brothers up over a personal thing that legally no one had no right to. CPC was a 40501(c)(3), but still the people who was involved had no commitment to each other.
All right, Muhammad. Okay. We know where you're coming from. Muhammad, we know where you're coming from. But also, we do know the Allah say, the Holy Quran say, unbelief. He say, fight the unbelievers. What did he say? Smite at their necks. And do that. Allah don't make you just roll over.
But you start. Opposition. But remember, you're fighting people who believe. I'm not defending them. I'm also defending you. And they're fighting you.
I didn't say that.
You are a believer. But they're fighting you like you're an unbeliever.
Brother Muhammad, you have to calm down some in order to get some order. Because.
I'm sorry. I thought I was requesting.
No,
go ahead. I'm listening because I'm learning. I'm learning what
wait
we are
minute,
going
wait
through
minute,
by
minute.
Listening, you know,
Muhammad,
too.
Muhammad. Just one more. Let me run this story down. Ayman died. He was the imam. And he worked with this brother who was his assistant, the one who left. Ayman died. Mukaddam, who was the emir over Ayman, he died. He just died 6 months ago, 7 months ago. Brother Bashir died, who had been part of the community for 50 years. Jalal, who was Iman's assistant, he just died about the same time Iman died. Jay Wahida, who used to collect all our money and put a statement on the window every Friday about how much money we got, how much money we spent, you know, and all like that. Jay Wahida, she was a great person to keep it. She contracted Alzheimer's and dementia. And so all of a sudden, this brother is left with just the whole nut. He got the whole thing in his hand. And he said, golly, I'm left with this right here. So when I think Junior and myself and Faida and Nasheed and Mahasin, his wife, and Bilal and Artist Terrell and a whole other people, you know what I mean, about 15, you know, 15, maybe 5 or 15 other people got together and said, we want to reorganize the masjid. We want to know what name is the masjid in, how much is in the bank accounts, how many bank accounts we got, because everybody is dead. So this brother, he looked around, he said, golly, all this is in my lap. So instead of him answering our questions that we wrote up, we put it in writing and gave it to him over a two-month period. Every week, Faida wrote it up and appealed to have a meeting, you know, over 2 months. So they said, we're going to meet with you right before Ramadan. So when he met with us, he went over to another community and got a gang of people.
Heard.
We don't know.
You already,
to come
right,
to our
already,
meeting. To come to, wait a minute, brother. To come to the meeting. And they had masks on. So, you know, we looked at this. He said, this is unbelievable.
Well, let me put it this way. Maybe you can understand this way. This
is the most important part of him.
What do you expect us to do if Shaitan instigates Masjid Rabat, I mean, out there, and you, and that gang, and everything else, and then one morning we wake up and say, damn, man, the Muslims in Los Angeles, they killed 4 of them and got shot last night. They was fighting. They was fighting gang members. That the man, all the different stories might come out of it. But bottom line is, the world will be watching. The Muslims
right.
were in the community of Imam
yeah.
Warfdeen Muhammad.
Right.
Are shooting each other down in the street.
Okay, no.
Like
no,
dogs.
No, no, no.
About a $2 million
bill. Brother Muhammad, you have to calm down.
This is
balance. Muhammad,
look here. Muhammad.
Brother Muhammad,
exactly
you have to calm down
not
some.
Doing. Oh, okay, look here. Muhammad, that's exactly what we're not doing. We went into nonprofit law, and there's three things you need. You need articles, bylaws, and minutes. And we say, we got the whole thing. We got a paper trail, go back 90 days, that every week we appealed to them and gave them a notice asking these questions. We got a hell of a paper trail, and we got the right. And they ain't got no minutes. They ain't got no minutes. They don't have nothing. We just need to send the Quran, stay within the law of California and the United States, and be patient, and let's go before a judge.
That's all you got to do, bro. That's what you got to do.
Don't you see the same thing going on in the Grange? Don't you see the same thing going on in Atlanta?
You're not going
don't
against
the law,
don't
you see the same thing going on in Michigan? Don't you see the same thing going on in New Jersey? It's a community problem. It's a community problem that has not been addressed from the legal standpoint of first, we have to approach the court system as a legitimate, legalized group of people or a community of people who follow the same and are striving for the same goals. And once somebody in the community has made a deviation and is causing the goals, the bylaws, and the destiny of those group of people that call themselves the community of Imam Warfdeen Muhammad, something like that. Then we have a legal right to voice that concern. You know, you can't lead all you can't. Then who is doing what they're supposed to be doing? Because if the problem is right around where we are, you would go hire your lawyer. You would say those who are supporting your position or the position, you would first be the one that has to look, we're going to need some money to pay a lawyer. Let's raise $100,000. So once we start these court proceedings, we don't have to wait around. We can push the court system, if they have any rights, to make a decision about religious squabbles. and the problem, which they don't have. United States government tries its best to stay out of religious quarrels and disputations and legal matters if they can help you. When you come to their court, they want you to have everything cut and dry, because all they're going to do is say, well, since what y'all doing is interfering with the life of your members who are paying taxes, and you're interfering with the outside communities too with your squabble. So as a decision from the court of Los Angeles, from the city of Los Angeles, here's what we're going to do. Y'all going to contain it and use what y'all say is in the Quran. I understand you're supposed to have shura. I'm supposed to have the legal members of your community are supposed to come together, and all y'all go against the one who's wrong. Can y'all do that? No, because we don't have no membership.
Why not?
What's your idea saying you got a membership? What's your idea saying that you are a community of the community of Imam Warfdi Muhammad, which right now is out of our own mouth, we're saying the leader of our community is Warfdi Muhammad II, and he ain't going to be bothered with that because he don't have a legal tie. He don't have a legal right to come and tell California that if you're going to say you and Imam Warfdi Muhammad, then you got to be honorable. You got to be honest.
Akbar.
Are we in the same situation, Lugray? We have to wait till we come together and come together as a unit against.
We're not talking about LeGrand right now, brother Muhammad. We're talking about what's happening in California. We can get on another line at a different time and talk about LeGrand.
I got you. I got you. So I promise you this. I won't comment on that situation anymore. Y'all asked me to say something. You know, I was listening. You know, but I won't say anything about it.
We just simply don't
want to
tie that in right now.
Our message of concern. You know, taking away from our message of concern program.
Okay, we're going to get back on
that. I like the program.
Okay, thank you. We're going to get back on that. We understand. We had just covered this to get a consensus of how our group, feels to back up Brother Imeen's call.
Well, if y'all going to back up Brother Imeen, give Brother Imeen some money so he can hire an attorney and continue to pay that attorney.
Ain't nobody, money don't scare nobody.
Listen. Am I right, Brother? Hey,
it's now 9 o'clock. Well, it's now 9 o'clock. Well, that's where we are. Some people say, well, right now, we've been talking about a lawyer, but our secretary, she says, look, I got legal people in my family, and I'm getting advice from them. And she gave us all of our assignments. She gave us all of us. She divided up assignments. So we're going back and we're putting together what we call an OSC. It's called Order to Show Cause to Go Before a Judge. So
right.
No, we ain't got no money for a lawyer.
We had to say it's
so lightweight, and them people are so wrong that we don't think we even need one. They so wrong.
I'm telling
they're
you.
So wrong. We had a lawyer, and we still got a lawyer, but we found out the lawyers are working together, keeping this out of the court, because the court wanted to decide who is the legal owner of that property. And the lady already told us, once we go to court, these people just got here.
Once we go to court,
and they ask who has the land on of that property. When they ask that, they cannot. They name nowhere near that, so they got to go.
They can't show.
Our lawyer probably done got with their lawyer. They paying him and both of the lawyers to not bring it to court. Drag it on for 4 years.
And then we found out that the lawyer's been keeping it out of court. And now we had to tell him that we want to go to court. Now he's going on vacation. So we got to figure out what we're going to do. When you get a lawyer, you better check him out. You better ask him everything you need to ask him before you hire him.
That sounds just right.
Yeah, if you don't, they're going to be working together trying to get money out of everybody. They don't care about nobody but themselves.
Now remember, I told you that last year or so. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to show you a lot
that,
of leavers without guidance. A lot
there's
of legal
right.
guys, but, why, but, you, but we don't have no legal ties.
Let me ask you a question. So you are, Muhammad, you are fighting in this LaGrange thing. You are fighting, right?
Yeah, because I'm back what Akbar is doing. Yeah, been involved basically not since the start, but since we legally challenged him. Yeah, we've been involved.
Why are you telling us not to fight? Why are you telling California not to fight? I'm asking Muhammad a question. Why are you telling California not to fight if you fight in LaGrange?
I didn't tell you not to fight. I told you how to fight.
Who said I heard you? Shoot, I heard you.
Okay, that's all right. That's you. So I ain't got nothing to do with that. You jump on all sides of the fence. We shouldn't do this on domestic concern. This is the domestic concern program dealing with racial discrimination.
Man, we know more about this than you can dream about.
You know. Now I put it this way, I mean, if you want to, I'll pay for 2 or 3 hours for y'all to talk about that problem that you have. If you want me to, then let me, and then y'all talk off the air.
No, you can't buy your way out of this, man.
And leave Bessie the concern alone. I'm talking to Brother Ibe. I'll pay for that if you want me. If you want me to support you, first I got to get it out of what is interfering with the good work you're doing on domestic concern. We got people calling in to listen to domestic concern, and that's what they're listening to. So if you want to get another 2 hours or 3 hour block, maybe y'all can organize it. I'll pay as much as up to $500 for y'all to sit down and talk about your legal strategy on how you're going to resolve that problem. Then I have y'all come on Message of Concern, where I'm trying to learn something every day better than what I already know about how to do the dawah on this false worship.
There was nobody on the board at that time when nobody.
Well, the board is when somebody wants to talk.
Let me finish telling you now. Brother Amin wanted to start discussing that. Okay.
So there was about a couple
of people on the board or something like that. It was Karan, Suja and his wife, and myself was on the board. Brother Ahim brought that up. And nobody, you know, knew.
Yes,
and everybody had spoke. Karan had spoke. I spoke. And Brother Suja didn't have his hand up to speak at that time when Brother Amin started to talk about this. And we just used that time. That's what that was.
Now give you an example of what you might say. I'm going to tell you something. We know that Allah tells us in the Quran, you ascertain anything that is told you, even some of your brothers. And if your brother is bringing a legitimate thing, we've been talking about this for long enough to where whatever legal grounds that Amin is telling us about verbally, he could be innocent. He could never was a letter or a note or a written progress report so we can follow what he's saying to us verbally.
They don't have a secretary. They don't even have a a group brother of from Wilhelminther, you know, what do you call the proper way? Okay, we will do that. We will do
now
that.
That's not
but
me.
Right
that's
now,
Quran. That's not me.
It's,
that's
okay,
Quran.
If it's Quran,
there's a way to do
okay,
things.
If it's Quran. Okay, it's a way to do a thing. Okay, but we're going to try to have
he
has, some
he
kind
has
of,
shown no,
some kind
no
of proof in
on paper
we
of what he
says
to us, even though we know he tells the truth.
We're going to drop that, okay? Okay, but
yes,
ma'am. Now, you know how I am. We're going to drop that now because, you know, we...
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad. Brother, I mean, you can go on. Peace.
Okay. So where are we?
We are
so
about to finish it up and round it up. It's 8 after 9,
oh,
but
okay.
If you want to
well,
go over,
well,
if you want to go over, you can.
We got a great spirit. All I've said is myself and Brother Ibn. Now, y'all know Ibn. You know, you may not know me. You've been on the Lord me 3 years or so. But, I know y'all know Ibn because I've heard you talk about him and refer to him.
Yes.
And he invited him on the show.
I
was showing
him when he was born.
So I'm saying, see, that's my reference. Sometimes when they ask you, well, give us a reference.
Yes.
If you want a job, if you want some, give a reference. So that's my reference. Right there.
Okay.
So, if you want to check with him, you know, right now he's tied up with something else. I was going to bring him on the show right now. I know it's unbelievable. I know it's incredible. But this is really what's happening when people are so bold. People just can take your stuff. Just take your stuff. So, I guess it's the end of the hour, so I guess we could go out.
Okay. If you want, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we
all right, anybody else want to say before we go?
Get settled. We pray it all just gets cleared up and settled. And we thank you for your input and bringing us up to date on what's going on, because if it's your interest, it's our interest as well. Since we're all in this together, and we, you know, it's okay as long as we can keep it in order, some kind of order.
I like to say just one thing. All this came about when Sister Claire Muhammad STEMschool.com was trying to start a weekend school, because Imam Muhammad told us, reach out to those children in public school, bring them to the masjid on a weekend school, because we know about the school to prison pipeline, our children going to the penitentiaries and everything, spending just ruining their lives. So I went to the board. I wanted to find out who was on the board, because they told me, you got to go before the board. Well, who is the board? When are they meeting? Then that's when everything showed that it was no board, because people had died and stuff. No board. They had no board meetings or nothing. That's when it started. It started when we tried to do a weekend school, Sister Claire Muhammad STEM school, weekend school, to reach out to these children in public school to keep them out of the penitentiary and give them some help. All right.
Okay.
Is it all right if I say one more thing, Michelle?
What the hell?
Can I say one more thing, Michelle?
Go ahead.
Believe it or not, a good thing to have is that you turn in a contract asking to rent space out of that masjid for the STEM school. That is a good evidence to have to show that they don't have a right to deny that. If they have available day or available night, or they have rooms that they're not using in the masjid, and if you want to start a community school, weekend school, and willing to pay for the space, they have no reason to deny you that opportunity to support Allah and His Messenger and the Quran and the life that we're living right here in California. See, there's a process that you go through with everything that makes you more and more show your intention of coming in peace. Because, see, if you'd have done that and then asked people like myself who know what you're doing, just like today, I just told a brother today in Ohio that if he get this building, I'll send him $500 a month. I'll put it on paper. I'll write a contract up saying for 1 year, I will send him $500 a month toward the rent of that
a building that he's going to use for a school there, if he doesn't. There's a way about going about doing things peacefully, according to the way Allah wanted us to do it, so that it's clear who is wrong and who is right. And it's not nothing personal. But you're denying the progress and development of this body community that we are charged by Almighty God Allah to establish. You have to get rid of the hypocrites in a wise way. A wise way.
Trump talked the same thing. Trump talked the same thing.
Suja.
No, ain't nobody no hypocrites around here.
Suja, that's not what.
What am I talking about, you Suja? I don't know how you got.
No,
I mean nobody.
When I said nobody, I mean nobody.
And that go for the brothers in the L.A. too? And that go for the brothers in L.A. too?
I said nobody around here.
Well,
I don't know the brothers in L.A.
We wasn't talking about Louisiana.
Nobody.
Or Atlanta or Georgia. I think about right now we're talking about California, right?
He know what he's saying. But yeah. Muhammad know what he's saying and what he's doing real good.
But it's okay.
No. You need to quit hating on your brother and love yourself. That's what you need to do. You need to love yourself. And then you find out that you can love other people the way that you want to love them. But you don't have to trust yourself, so you don't trust nobody. And this is what Shaitan brings out everybody, the truth. You need to hear that.
Shaitan,
I know you don't believe in Shaitan. No,
brother,
I understand all that. You ain't got to convince me. I understand, but still, I don't know how you came up with that conclusion.
Okay, all right, then. Okay, I'm gonna close it out.
Brother,
All right, okay. All right, believers, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
You gonna make a dua?